Welcome to another episode of Practical Azure on MSDN Dev Radio. I'm Jim O'Neill, a technology evangelist in the Boston area, and in this episode I'll provide an overview of the networking features available in Windows Azure. Since first launching this series a couple months ago, there have been some significant advances in the Windows Azure feature set, and a very recent announcement relates directly to today's topic. In April 2013, the Azure team announced the availability of Windows Azure Infrastructure Services, which includes both virtual machines and the virtual network. We tackled virtual machines a few episodes ago, and on the feature map here, you'll notice that I've actually highlighted two blocks, Windows Azure Connect and Windows Azure Virtual Network. Also included in the overall moniker of virtual network is the Windows Azure Traffic Manager that I covered previously. Let's tackle this networking topic by looking at a few scenarios and how you might address them inside of Windows Azure. In the process, we'll touch on the blocks highlighted here, as well as a few related concepts. We'll start from a very localized example and work our way out. When you build a Windows Azure Cloud service using either web or worker roles, which is platform as a service, or a number of virtual machines, which is infrastructure as a service, those virtual machines within the cloud service are essentially connected via a virtual network. There's nothing much you need to do other than configure ports on the role instances. It just works. And also what just works is domain name resolution across those instances within the same cloud service. In fact, you're also guaranteed in the infrastructure as a service case that the IP address is permanent, even through reboots of the virtual machine. Now, what happens if you have a more complex scenario? Perhaps you want to deploy an ASP.NET application as a platform as a service, but also host a SQL Server instance within a virtual machine. In this case, you want to connect the cloud service, but these virtual networks here are discrete. Now, what happens if you have a more complex scenario? Perhaps you want to deploy an ASP.NET application as platform as a service, but also host a SQL Server instance within a virtual machine. In this case, you want to connect the cloud services, but the virtual networks here are discrete. Sure, you could still connect the service via public endpoints through the internet, but that's not a very efficient or secure solution. With a virtual network, you can configure a network in the private address space and join these discrete cloud services to that network. If you additionally want domain name resolution among them, you can also host your own DNS in Azure to provide that service, or even use one that you might be running on premises. Now let's take this a bit further. One of the awesome things about Windows Azure is that it's built on the same core technologies that you're running within your own firewall. A great use case of the cloud is elasticity, and there's nothing that demonstrates that better than the ability to extend the confines of your own internal network to the cloud to incorporate additional compute power and storage resources on an as-needed basis. With Windows Azure Virtual Networks, you can create these hybrid scenarios in two primary ways. The first is a point-to-point, or a simple extension of point-to-site scenario. In this case, you have a machine or machines behind your firewall with which you want to incorporate, say, web or worker role instances in Windows Azure. Or maybe you have a cloud service that you wish to connect to a SQL Server database that's hosted on-premises. Until the recent release of virtual networks, the way to accomplish this was via Windows Azure Connect, which provided an IPsec-protected point-to-point connection between your on-premises assets and the cloud. Part of this configuration required the incorporation of endpoint software on each of the on-premises machines that were involved in its topology, as well as a configuration of endpoint groups mapping on-premises endpoints to cloud endpoints. Things have gotten much easier now. With virtual networks, you can now configure a point-to-site scenario directly without the need for additional software or hardware, like a VPN device or additional IT activities. Rather, you just leverage the built-in Windows VPN tunnel to access the virtual network in Windows Azure. Now, we can also take this to the next logical step, a site-to-site topology where you join your local network to a virtual network in Windows Azure. Up until quite recently, this required the configuration of a hardware VPN device from Cisco or Juniper. But now you can also accomplish this with a pure software solution by incorporating Windows Server 2012 with some scripting that enables routing and remote access services on that server. As you can see, there's quite a few options here in terms of networking, from the simple intra-service scenario to a robust enterprise hybrid implementation. So what I want to do next is take a brief look at how to provision these options inside of the Windows Azure portal. There are a lot of moving parts to building a virtual network, and I'm only going to hit the high points. So I won't actually create a working network here, but what I will show will hopefully be sufficient to get you on your way once you've outlined the network topology that you want to implement. Let's start by creating a new virtual network, and I'm going to use the custom create option here. So we're going to give the network a name. We'll just call it Jim's Network. And I also need to assign what's called an affinity group. So an affinity group is essentially a logical name that's provided to associate resources with inside of Windows Azure, so your network, compute resources, and so on. So by creating an affinity group, I'm essentially mapping my network with a specific data center in the U.S. So I'm going to use the East Coast, and we'll call it Jim's F group. And I'm going to associate it with a slightly different subscription that I happen to have inside of Windows Azure. And what this is going to do is create essentially the definition of a network. And once I create the definition of the network, there's a couple of different options I have here. We talked about the point-to-site connectivity. We talked about the site-to-site connectivity. We talked briefly about DNS and bringing your own DNS servers. So all of that is bundled inside of this, essentially inside of this wizard. On the left here, you see the ability to add your own DNS server. So if you're doing domain name resolution and you have a public DNS or a private DNS that you have inside your premises, you can set up those servers here. I'm going to skip that part because it's fairly straightforward. Once you know the DNS addresses, you just sort of pop them in there. I'm going to set this particular network up for both point-to-site and site-to-site connectivity. You can see a little diagram down at the bottom kind of showing you a schematic of what that looks like. And what we're going to essentially do is create a new local network for the site-to-site connectivity. And then for the point-to-site connectivity, we're going to be configuring some network parameters as well. So as we select those two options, multiple pages pop up inside of this wizard. So we're going to go to the next page of the configuration where it's talking about point-to-site connectivity. And what we're talking about at this point is the ability for individual, essentially, machines within your network to talk to the virtual network inside of Windows Azure. So you can set up one or two or three machines that talk directly to the virtual network. There's no integration of a VPN device or anything like that with the point-to-site connectivity solution. If you look at the scenario or the schematic at the bottom here, what you essentially have to do at this point is divide up your private IP space across these different segments of your network. So in this case, I have some clients that are doing point-to-site connectivity, so they're going to have some subset of an IP address space, private IP address space. We're later going to set up a site-to-site connectivity, so we're going to have a local network on-premises that is going to have another subset of the IP space. And then we're obviously extending the network inside of Windows Azure, so the Windows Azure virtual network will also have some of that IP space. So what we're doing in this particular case is setting up the first part, the client space. And what I'm going to do is just set up some defaults here. So we're going to start with a private IP space of 10.0.0.0. And instead of using up all of the space, I'm just going to use it up for essentially eight IP addresses there. So that will be the IP space for the client segment of this network. Next, I'm going to move on to the site-to-site connectivity. So now what we're actually doing is we're taking your local on-premises network and we're joining it with a virtual network inside of Windows Azure. So we're essentially extending your network reach into the cloud. Now to do so, you essentially need to define the name of that local network. So it's kind of a friendly name for that network, your on-premises network. So I'm just going to call it my local network. And when we do this site-to-site connectivity, we have to essentially have some sort of a VPN device involved here. Now, this could be a Juniper or Cisco-type device, or as I mentioned a little earlier, it could also be a Windows Server 2012 set up with a pure software solution. Regardless of what solution it is, it's going to have a public IP address that identifies that device to provide the connectivity between your on-premises and your cloud networks. So I'm going to just create an IP address here. This is not real by any means, but this would be a public IP address that would represent the IP of your VPN device, for instance. And then what we would do is we would also add an address space. So this local network is going to divvy up, again, that private address space for your entire network. Now that I've got the VPN device IP address set up, the next thing is to carve out some additional space from that private network address space for the My Local Network segment. So what I'm going to do is take a few more addresses from that 10.0.0 space. We only used eight before. So I'm going to take another eight, let's say, from that address space and assign that to my site-to-site connectivity aspects of my network. And then lastly, the last piece of this is to set up the address space that the virtual network is going to use. That's the network that's going to be hosted inside of Windows Azure. And what you can see here is it's already kind of determined that it's going to start with 10.10.16, since that's the next segment of the address space that's available. And I could certainly bump up the number of nodes on that network, maybe to burst out a little bit more. Let's bump it back down to 8 here. And it also will create a subnet for me automatically as well, and I can create additional subnets however I want to configure that address space inside of the cloud. Now, the last thing I also have to do here is add a gateway subnet, and if I just click the button here, it will automatically set up one of those for me as well. And of course, I can modify the IP address and the count and so on here, again, to reflect the topology that I want for that particular network. So once I've got all this set up, what I now have is a network defined that includes three main aspects. So let me go back into this network as it's getting set up here. Now, it takes a few seconds for the network configuration to go through the system and to actually show up with the created status. Once it's set up to created, I can go into the network and look at the dashboard. And there's actually a couple more steps that I may need to take at this point. You'll notice, first of all, it says the gateway was not created. I actually have to explicitly create the gateway, which will give me essentially a public IP address that I can then use to connect the on-premises assets with the Windows Azure virtual network assets. And that does take a few minutes. We're not going to wait for that to complete. But once the gateway is completed, you'll see the connection between the two sides of this schematic become essentially a solid line. The other thing that needs to be done is for the site to point connectivity or point to site connectivity, there's a little bit of extra work that needs to be done as well. There's some configuration of some certificates that need to be done inside of Windows Azure. And then for your clients to connect to the virtual network, you need to download a VPN device script. And you can see over on the right here, the quick glance link here, download VPN device script. So you're going to have to do some configuration on the local machine as well that wants to make that connection to the virtual network. All that's pretty well documented in terms of the MSDN documentation that you can find on Azure.com as well. And since it really wasn't feasible to continue and set up the entire real network in this episode, let's move back to the slides, and I'll give you a few resources so that you can do your own experimentation and actually complete a complete end-to-end network solution on your own. Like all of the other features in Windows Azure Virtual Networks are part of the 90-day trial account that you can instantly provision via the links you see here. You can experiment with quite a few of the scenarios via the tutorials and links I've included on this slide. But do note that some of these require a bit of domain expertise with networking, and you may even need a VPN device as well as the privileges to tinker or tap into your own on-premises network infrastructure to complete all of these tutorials. Thanks for joining me to learn about the networking services in Windows Azure. Now that we've completed the integration layer in our feature map, next time we'll pick up on a few of the higher level services that we skipped earlier, starting with reporting services.